Act 4, Scene 1. Ministry of Magic. Grand Meeting Room. Wizards and witches from all over cram into the Grand Meeting Room. Hermione walks on to a hastily made stage. She raises her hand for silence. Silence falls. She surprised the lack of effort it took. She looks around herself. Hermione. Thank you. I'm so pleased so many of you were able to make my second extraordinary general meeting. I've got some things to say. I ask that we deal with questions, and there will be a lot of questions after I speak. As many of you know, a body has been found at Hogwarts. His name was Craig Bowker. He was a good boy. We have no firm information who was responsible for the act, but yesterday we searched St. Oswald's. A room there revealed two things. One, a prophecy that promised the return of darkness. Two, written on the ceiling, a proclamation that the Dark Lord had a... that Voldemort had a child.
The news reverberates around the room.
We don't know the full details. We're only just investigating, questioning those with a Death Eater connection. And as yet, no record has been found either of the child or of the prophecy, but it does look like there's some truth to it. This child was kept hidden from the wizarding world, and now she's... well, now she's...
Professor McGonagall.
She? A daughter? He had a daughter?
Hermione.
Yes. A daughter.
Professor McGonagall.
And she is now in custody?
Harry. Professor, she did ask for no questions. Hermione.
It's fine, Harry. No, Professor. That's where this gets worse. I'm afraid we've no means of taking her into custody, or indeed stopping her doing anything. She's out of reach.
Professor McGonagall.
We can't look for her?
Hermione.
We have good reason to believe she's hidden herself. In time.
Professor McGonagall.
Of all the reckless, stupid things, you've kept the time-turner even now?
Hermione.
Professor, I assure you...
Professor McGonagall.
Shame on you, Hermione Granger!
Hermione flinches in the face of the anger. Harry.
No, she doesn't deserve that. You have a right to be angry. You all do. But this is not all Hermione's fault. We don't know how the witch got hold of the time-turner, whether my son gave it to her.
Ginny.
Whether our son gave it to her, or whether it was stolen from him.
Ginny joins Harry on the stage.
Professor McGonagall.
Your solidarity is admirable, but it doesn't make your negligence negligible.
Draco.
Then it's a negligence I too should face.
Draco walks up to the stage and stands beside Ginny. This is almost a Spartacus moment. There are gasps.
Hermione and Harry have done nothing wrong but try and protect us all. If they're guilty, then I am too.
Hermione looks across at her cohort, moved. Ron joins them on the stage. Ron.
Just to say, I didn't know about much of it, so can't take responsibility, and I'm pretty sure my kids had nothing to do with it. But if this lot are standing up here, then so am I.
Ginny.
No one can know where they are, whether they're together or apart. I trust that our sons will be doing all they can to stop her, but...
Hermione.
We haven't given up. We've gone to the giants, the trolls, everyone we can find. The auras are out flying, searching, talking to those who know secrets, following those who won't reveal secrets.
Harry.
But there is one truth we can't escape. That somewhere in our past, a witch is trying to rewrite everything we ever knew, and all we can do is wait. Wait for the moment she either succeeds or fails.
Professor McGonagall.
And if she succeeds?
Harry.
Then, just like that, most of the people in this room will be gone. Will no longer exist. And Voldemort will rule again.
Act 4, Scene 2. Scottish Highlands, Aviemore train station, 1981. Albus and Scorpius are looking at a station master, apprehensively. Albus.
One of us should talk to him, don't you think?
Scorpius.
Hello, Mr. Station Master, Mr. Muggle. Question, did you see a flying witch passing here? And by the way, what year is it? We just ran away from Hogwarts because we were frightened of upsetting things, but this is okay?
Albus.
You know what annoys me most of all? Dad will think we did it deliberately.
Scorpius.
Albus. Really, I mean, really, really? We're trapped, lost in time, probably permanently, and you're worrying what your dad might think about it.
I will never understand the two of you.
Albus.
There's a lot to understand. Dad's pretty complicated.
Scorpius.
And you're not. Not to question your taste in women, but you fancy, well...
They both know who he's talking about. Albus.
I did, didn't I? I mean, what she did to Craig.
Scorpius.
Let's not think about that. Let's focus on the fact that we have no wands, no brooms, no means of returning to our time. All we have is our wits and...
No, that's all, our wits. And we have to stop her.
Station Master, in very strong Scots.
You can, the old leaky train is running late, boys.
Scorpius.
Sorry?
Station Master.
If you're waiting on the old leaky train, you'd need to ken it's running late. Train works on the line. It's on the amended time board.
He looks at them. They look back, bewildered. He frowns and hands them an amended timetable. He points to the right bit of it.
Late!
Albus takes it and examines it. His face changes as he takes in enormous information. Scorpius just stares at the station master. Albus.
I know where she is.
Scorpius.
You understood that?
Albus.
Look at the date. On the timetable.
Scorpius leans in and reads.
Scorpius. The 30th of October, 1981. Day before Hallows Eve, 39 years ago. But why is she...
Oh.
Scorpius's face falls as he realizes. Albus.
The death of my grandparents. The attack on my dad as a baby. The moment when Voldemort's curse rebounded on himself. She's not trying to bring about her prophecy. She's trying to prevent the big one.
Scorpius.
The big one?
Albus.
The one with the power to vanquish the Dark Lord approaches.
Scorpius joins in. Scorpius and Albus.
Born to those who have thrice defied him. Born as the seventh month dies.
Scorpius's face falls with every word. Scorpius.
It's my fault. I told her that prophecies can be broken. I told her the whole logic of prophecies is questionable.
Albus.
In 24 hours' time, Voldemort curses himself trying to kill the baby Harry Potter. Delphi is trying to prevent that curse. She's going to kill Harry herself. We need to get to Godric's Hollow. Now.
Act 4, Scene 3. Godric's Hollow, 1981. Albus and Scorpius walk through the centre of Godric's Hollow, and it's a bustling, beautiful little village. Scorpius.
Well, there's no visible signs of attack that I can see.
Albus.
This is Godric's Hollow.
Scorpius.
Your dad's never taken you?
Albus.
No, he tried a few times, but I refused.
Scorpius.
Well, there's no time for a tour. We have a murderous witch to save the world from. But, regard, the church, St. Jerome's.
As he indicates, a church becomes visible. Albus.
It's magnificent.
Scorpius.
And St. Jerome's graveyard is supposedly magnificently haunted.
He points in another direction.
And that's where the statue of Harry and his parents will be.
Albus.
My dad has a statue.
Scorpius.
Oh, not yet, but he will. Hopefully. And this house is where Batilda Bagshot lives.
Albus.
The Batilda Bagshot? A history of magic, Batilda Bagshot.
Scorpius.
The very same. Oh my, that's her. Wow. Squeak! My Gignus is a quivering.
Albus. Scorpius. Scorpius.
And here it is.
Albus.
The home of James, Lily, and Harry Potter.
A young, attractive couple leave a house with a baby in a pushchair. Albus moves towards them. Scorpius pulls him back. Scorpius.
They can't see you, Albus. It might damage time, and we're not doing that. Not this time.
Albus.
But this means she hasn't... We've made it. She hasn't...
Scorpius.
So what do we do now? Get ready to fight her? Because she's pretty fierce.
Albus.
Yes. We haven't really thought this one through, have we? What do we do now? How do we protect my dad?